Beautiful song. Amen. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you have never heard a cappella singing. I think that's one of the best songs to be introduced to a cappella singing. Wonderful, wonderful singing and beautiful voices. And I just want to be that good bass like Brother Teamer. So I sit right there in front of him. And I get down there with him. I think I sound like him, but he sound like me. Brother Demon go down. I'll be over there. Yeah, and then them sisters' voice. Isn't that beautiful? Imagine what heaven sound like when all the angels around the throne of God are singing. Yeah. Their voices, the Bible says, as harps. It don't say they're harps. It says as harps. Got a beautiful melody coming from it. Is that good? So we're thankful to have each of you today with us. If you're visiting and not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to be a member of the Church of Christ. The only one in the Bible. Yeah, you want to go to heaven. You got to do it the way the Bible says do it. Is that good? Save the inner Church of Christ. And the Bible says that one must obey the gospel. That means you must believe that Jesus died and suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. And believe that with all of your heart. Amen. Repent of your sins this day. Confess him to be the Son of God before this audience, and we will bury you with him in baptism. And the Lord then will add you to his body, the Church of Christ. You can't join the Church of Christ. Amen. You got to obey God and become a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. This morning, I want you all to continue to pray for my wife. She's still hospitalized after having the flu. That flu is dangerous these years. It's dangerous, dangerous. So with her body being not as healthy as the rest many people, an autoimmune disease she has, it makes it very difficult for her to fight off viruses. So she's doing good, but they think it's important to keep her hospitalized until they're sure that they got the virus out of her system. So we thank you for your prayers, and we pray that you will continue to pray for her and pray for me. It's tough living by yourself. I couldn't do it. Clothes everywhere. Dishes piling up. I overslept. Overstudied. Normally she'll come and say, Tommy, it's 7:30. I told her this morning. I said, you didn't come in there and tell me. And then I was late getting here. So you don't know how important the other half is until they're not there. Yeah, so I love her. Thank you for praying for her. And let her come home soon. So, Highland Heights, I wanna talk to you this morning. I'm not gonna preach. I'm gonna try lecturing. That's why I'm sitting like a professor in college or something. This ain't so much my back as it is I wanna not preach hard. I wanna lecture. I want you to take notes. Take notes. In Romans chapter 8. Let's look at that Bible. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans 8. Just show you something before I start. And verse number, let's go to verse 5, Brother Caravan. 8:5.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Verse 6.
For to be carnally minded is death.
Now notice this.
But to be spiritually minded.
Hold on. To be carnally minded is death. Means you will never get to heaven with a carnal mind. But to be spiritual
minded is life and peace.
See, many people who are Christians that are coming to church worship like this on Sunday morning are attempting to be spiritual. And in when one can accomplish being spiritual, they will have life and they have a peace in their mind. They have a peace that only comes with spiritual living, spiritual-minded people. And so this morning I want to talk about committing to be spiritual. Last week, I called what I thought would be a church hall meeting, in which in the style of a town hall meeting. However, some of you did as Norman left, you wouldn't stay. So now that I got a captured audience, I'm going to talk about you now. I'm going to talk to you. Because the people that stay for Bible class, I'm talking to the choir. Mm-hmm. And I want all of us to go to heaven. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? As your spiritual leader, I'm saying to you, until you commit to be spiritual, heaven won't be your home. So rather than preach and fuss, and I done that, I done fussed, and you do all that, you hitting the people with scripture, but I know that it's a decision. It's a decision to be spiritual. And all of us can do it. So I just want to talk and appeal to the hearts of every member of this congregation and those who are not Christians, not members of the Church of Christ, to consider being spiritual. Consider this commitment. The integrity of our congregation is dependent upon every member understanding their individual importance and the individual commitment required to God to go to heaven. Your individual decision to become a Christian was yours alone. And your individual decision to be a spiritual man or woman is yours alone. The integrity of the Church of Christ is held together as a body with members. And the reason I say integrity, integrity comes from the Latin word integrare or integra, which means completeness or wholeness. You take a bicycle wheel. The reason the architecture, the engineers designed that wheel with spokes is so the integrity or the complete wholeness of that wheel is intact when every spoke is intact. But when you remove one spoke from the wheel, you have violated the integrity or the strength or the completeness or the wholeness of that wheel. It is incomplete, it is a weak wheel, it is vulnerable to failure and its performance to its full potential. So it is with this congregation. So it is with the Universal Church of Christ. So goes our congregation without every member understanding their importance to the success of the whole. Our integrity has been violated. We are weaker. We are vulnerable to failure. And so can each of you see the importance just when you think in terms of the wheel? Y'all say amen if you can. I can't get you, because of the worship, I can't really get feedback from you because I wanted to last week hear back from you and what you thought. But worship must be done decent in order, so I'm doing more of the lecturing, you're doing more of the listening. But if you have a question or comment or feedback for me, go ahead and write that down, and I'll be happy to receive what you got to say. I want your feedback. Let's look at integrity in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12.
For as the body is one.
Let's get them a time to get there.
Okay.
I can hear pages, but I can't hear that phone like British stocks use. You know how you do that? But you know, when you're surfing the web, you can't. They be hitting them scriptures on the phone. How many of y'all got used a device? Raise your hand. Yeah, devices are becoming very popular, aren't they? In worship, you should not be on the internet or in your email or in your text. It is very tempting to go to your text message when it pops up in it. I would encourage you to go to airplane mode if you can. Can you open your Bible when you're in airplane mode?
Yeah.
So you're not distracted by those other little communication. That's the only concern I have with those devices. But it makes it a lot easier to get around in, don't it? Mm-hmm. It sure does. So 1 Corinthians 12:12.
For as the body is one,
and had many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body,
so also is Christ.
And you know, the body is the church, Ephesians 1:22. So when the Bible talks about body, it's talking about the church. There's one body, there's one church, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So 1 Corinthians, Colossians 1:18 tells us there's one, the body is the church, and the church is the body. So that's what the church is, it's the body. So when you think of Christ's body, he had the head of the church. The head of that body is Christ. And all of us are members. And this head controls everything in this one body. That makes sense? That's the way God designed the church to be. It shouldn't be churches on every corner teaching different things. It'd be like me having a head and DJs on them do what I say, and that on them do what I say, and all of them split up everywhere. One head, one body, one arm moves. Make sense? Verse 13 said, for by one spirit are we all baptized
into one body.
So that's about the one spirit manages the one baptism. That's how you become a member of the Church of Christ. If you're in a church that's not in the Bible, the spirit had nothing to do with that. Spirit don't make no mistakes. Then he said, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body?
The body is not one member, but many.
So I got many members on this one body. Read.
If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,
Now he's making some common sense application. Now he said, what if the foot, if this foot.
Say, because I am not the hand.
I'm mad because I ain't the hand.
I am not of the body.
So I ain't going to have no part of it.
And it is therefore not of the body.
Because, he said, is it therefore not of the body? Read.
And if the ear shall say.
Now my ears start talking.
Because I am not the eye.
Well, I ain't the eye.
I am not of the body.
I ain't on the body either.
Is it therefore not of the body?
Paul is just saying, can y'all make sense? You don't have to be very smart to get what he's saying. Read on.
If the whole body were an eye.
If the whole body were one big old eye.
Where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing. Where were the smelling?
Now, if the whole body was an ear, how we gonna smell? If the whole body was an eye, how we gonna hear? So Paul is saying, okay, let me give it to you in a very simplistic way that children can understand it. Read on.
But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body.
So God put every member on this body. Read.
And if they were all one member, where were the body?
Okay, read it.
But now are they many members, yet but one body.
Keep on reading.
And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee.
Now my eye got his own purpose in my hand. Amen. Make sense? Okay, read on.
Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you.
So the head said, I don't need you feet. Because the feet got to get around to carry the head around. Read on. Read on, man.
Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary.
Then he says, now, there are other members of the body that seem to be more feeble, but they are necessary.
And those members of the body which we think to
and
be...
And those members of the body which we think
to
be less honorable upon these bestow more honor.
Abundant honor. And
our comely parts have more abundant comeliness.
For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundance honor to that part which lacked.
Let's go back to verse 23. Now, here's an important lesson right here that I want to overlook. We put shoes on our feet and toes and cover them because they are less attractive than this handsome face of mine. I'm sorry, I shouldn't brag. Says team. I'm just making a, let me say something about that, because she said I brag. But let me teach you all something about public speaking. There are times when you break the ice with humor, not necessarily bragging all the time. There are times when I'm motivating. I'll give you an example. When I start talking about how good I fish, and them brothers have them sign up for the retreat, fishers go sign up. That's reverse psychology. Mm-hmm. When I talk about how good I am on golfing, them golfers go sign up. Now, I asked them, will you sign up for the retreat? They ain't going to do nothing. But I said, well, I'm going to tell you up when I get you on that golf course. You wait, let me get on. Be careful. Okay, be careful. I thought she said I was bragging. Yeah, so I use it sometimes for different reasons. And I teach that in public speaking. I teach the ministerial student, there are times when you know you've said something very difficult, you got to relax your audience. You know, you got to know your audience. Public speaking is a skill. It's teaching coming with that. So some of the things you read, you misreading because you don't know what I'm doing. Plus, you don't know the audience. You ain't looking at them. I'm looking at their faces. When you start talking about one church, you get some crazy looks. Like, man, what you talking about, man? And I start talking about, yes. I see something funny. And they, ah! Okay, go back to your lesson, Brother Brooks. Mm-hmm. Toes and feet are less attractive than our faces. We spend more time in the mirror making sure we look good here than we do on our toes. Right? Mm-hmm. Of course we do. However, that doesn't lessen the importance of my feet. Some of the members of the church are feeble. Some are weak. Some perform what some would believe to be less attractive duties, such as ushering, or I'll give you one, the ladies who every morning come in and nobody know that they put them trays together. They back in the back room. They doing that undercover, in a sense. That person is just as important as what I'm doing to the body, to the success of this congregation. Because we could not take communion if them sisters didn't make that necessary sacrifice to come in before services, come in early, to go in that room and pour that juice in there. There's some ladies here who've done that for years. You probably don't even know who they are. And they are members of this body. And what the Bible is teaching us, that they're as important as the preacher, the elder, the deacon, and anyone else in the church. We must remember that all of us have individual uniqueness, creativity. We are creative thinkers. However, all of us from the pulpit to the back door are fallible. We'll make mistakes. As a matter of fact, we've made some mistakes as leadership here. But you made mistakes in your life. We all make mistakes. However, we can come together and think. We can be creative in our thinking. We can come together and make good decisions. Because all members of the body, the more heads, the better the decision is going to be. Now, in verse 24, for our comely parts have no need.
But God hath tempered the body.
That tempered right there is the integrity of the body. That's what I'm talking about. That tempered means that God has composed, arranged, or sojourned together his church as a body. It literally is mingled and mixed together as our body is to hold the whole function of the body. To be successful in a body, our whole body must function. Or we're limping, or we're lame, or we're halted, or we have all the infirmities. If our arm don't work, we're halted, we're lame. When our feet don't work, we're halted, we're lame. I'm supposed to be lecturing, I'm sorry. That makes sense? So he's saying here, God put the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which what? That lacks. This commonly a more attractive part of the body, such as the faces, the face, the hands, need no special attention. Brother Brooks don't need no special. I'm up front. But what about the people that are in the background working? What about the doorkeeper? What about the janitor that cleans the commodes? What about those people? But why did Brother Brooks get a parking spot and get to wear the robe and a big old a chair up here that makes him look like he's greater than everybody else in the church? Well, if you're going to get Brother Brooks a parking spot, then give my janitor a parking spot. Amen, somebody. Amen. That right? Yeah, give them a robe to wear. There's only one head. There's only one who we lift up and magnify. That's Christ. That's why you don't ever call me reverend. That means my role as a church is greater than yours. God says, holy and reverend in his name, Psalm 111, verse 9. Matthew 23:7 says, call no man your father. You are all brothers. That's good preaching. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm doing it. Because that's good information I'm sharing. A preacher's a proclaimer. of good news. So when I say good preaching, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying what I just said is good to preach. I'm teaching you to get to know me. You should know where my office is at. You should know who your spiritual lead is. You should trust me. You should come talk to me. You should get to know me. You shouldn't draw opinions of your own without knowing me. If you want to get to know me, my door is open. My phone number is in the bulletin. My phone number is on the website. I got text. I'm tech savvy, man. I can use email, text, and phone. And I do listen to my voicemails. So when you say I'm not available, you're wrong. You're not attempting to reach me. Sorry to tell you. It's not me. It's you. Anyone who knows me know I respond. I know that because I've given my life to the ministry. And this congregation and the members of this church and the Church of Christ as a whole is a number one priority in my life. And I'm going to tell y'all this. If I get to where I can't ever preach, I'm going to be a miserable man. And I'm not affected by opinions of me. That doesn't bother me. Because I know why I do what I do. I know what's motivating it. I know what I am, who I am. And I know I can be better. I know there are things you can improve on. Every one of us must know that for ourselves. And you should take the constructive criticism like one man told me. Some stuff, just stop right here. I don't even hear you. Some stuff go through. I filter out what I want. I let it go through this ear and go out. Because I just filter it. Some stuff I keep. I say, that's valuable to me there. You have to do the same thing as a part of the body. The Bible is teaching us that we are a part of the body, but uniquely different. Uniquely different. There's no one the same. There's only one Curvey. There's not another one. Thank God. I mean, I'm kidding. Where there be no schism in the body, verse 25, we shouldn't be divided. The members should have the same what? Care what?
For one another.
Is something wrong when our feet and our hand are working against each other? In order for our bodies to function properly, all body parts have to do their part. Caring for one another. You ever hit your hand with a hammer? You go, bam, and the mouth take over. You know, the mouth scream, and you stick it in there. Look like it's gonna comfort that thing or something. But the mouth start reacting to the thumb. Amen. You ever stump your toe? Amen. Your toe, ow, ow. Just playing. Stump your toe, and your rest of your body start responding. What are you saying? Those body parts understand the importance of the other body parts. He said, where are you going with this, Brother Brooks? Verse 26, well, whether one member suffer,
all the members suffer with it.
If you come to worship and you lost your mother, and you come here for comfort, and you're suffering from the loss of your mama, but you don't come when other people lose their mama. You come when you're going through your trials and tribulations, and we comfort you. And it may be one member who will come back at 3:30 that needs comforting, but you won't come back. Because we suffer together and we rejoice together when somebody has restored, someone has come home. We rejoice with the angels in heaven. Our song we sing, sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we what? Cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, and sometimes we dream together of how it's going to be when we get to heaven. The saved get to heaven. As who? God's family. And then he says, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So now that we're all in this together, every member in particular, or every member individually. Here are some things as your minister, as your spiritual lead, I believe that you can start listening to them that would help you to become more spiritual, committed to be spiritual. What I just indicated, what I just taught from the scripture was the biblical concept of integrity of the whole and individual importance to the body. Did y'all get that lesson? Okay, good. Number one, write this one. you want to go to heaven and you want to be more spiritual, and some people say, I want to be more spiritual, tell them how. Number one, commit to love God and put him first. That's your first thing. First thing you got to do. When you put God first, he's the number one priority in your life. He's a spirit, and that makes you spiritual. Number two, commit to love God's son, Jesus Christ, who hung, bled, and died and suffered for you. And said this, greater love had no man than this. The greatest love shown for you was him giving his life. So God wants you to love him. Number two, love his son. Number three, commit to be guided by the Holy Spirit. This means you have to come to Bible study to learn what the Bible is teaching you. Commit to stay for Bible class if you want to be spiritual. Somebody say, I'm going to pray about it. This is Brother Stroud and I talked about this last night. God is not, when you pray, God's not going to come in and whisper in your ear, yeah, he's right. God only answers through the scripture. And if you don't know the scripture, you can't grow spiritually. That statement, I'm going to pray about it, is a cop-out, a procrastination, and a meaningless statement. Praying about an answer don't come from the sky. Amen. Knowing what God's answer is for your life is in this book called the Bible. Amen. You didn't learn math or English by standing home. You would have got a big fat F. None of us learn by standing home. Get John 6:44 for me. No one learns by standing home. If you want to be spiritual, you got to make a decision that I'm going to give God. I'm going to make him first in my life. And one thing you can do to put him first is to make God first on Sunday. This is just a good start to becoming spiritual. Make God first on Wednesday. That's Bible class time. The Bible says in John 6:44,
no man can come to me.
Jesus said, no man can come to me
except the Father which has sent me draw him.
Read on.
And I will rise him.
Raise him.
And I will raise him up.
Yeah.
At the last day.
What's the next verse say? 45.
It is written in the prophet.
It's written in the prophet.
And they shall be.
Notice what he said.
God.
They all shall be
taught of God.
Of God.
Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned.
You got to be taught by a Bible teacher. You got to hear what the teacher is telling you. And you have to learn
of the Father.
So the approach to come to morning worship and stay out of class is asking for a big fat F on the day of judgment. You failed to know what God wanted you to do. You're not, none of us can get to heaven just by 9 a.m. worship. Well, half the time, you only get 10% of what I taught you. In a 45 minute, it's proven. If you take no notes, your retention rate is 10% of what I said. When you start taking notes and following me, your retention of the information I gave you goes up to 40 to 50%. If you go home and study those same notes, you retain 70%. That's proven in the schools and everywhere else. That's why teachers give you homework. To get your retention up to the level of education, and those of you in education are much more probably versed in this than I am because you've been to school for it, but I do know some basics. These are statistical facts. So if you're missing Bible class, then you cannot be as spiritual as you need to be to go to heaven. Number four. So that was number three. Commit to be guided by the Holy Spirit. The scripture is given by the Holy Spirit, and it's the one that you must learn from, the scripture. Number four. Commit to worshiping God faithfully. This means you start coming and attending worship services If you're only coming once a month, commit today, I'm going to come in every Sunday. At least start there. I'm going to start going every Sunday. That's a start. If you're coming for morning service, and you coming every week for morning service, now raise your commitment to come back at 3:30. Now you're starting to work on being more spiritual, because you're going to get some information in the afternoon that you didn't get that morning. The devil going to attack you Monday, but you got more weapons for him. You're well prepared. You're better equipped. If you have not been coming to Bible class at all, at least start staying for one. Try it. Just try it. I dare you to try it. Please try one. Can you try one? Try it for once. Oh, we're competing with the Super Bowl today for sure, right? Is that right? We might have a real problem today, huh? What time does the Super Bowl start?
5:30.
So if Jesus come back at 5, that's the Super Bowl. Look at everybody know what time. 5:30. Let me get through with this. What I say number 4 was? Commit to what? What is worship? What we're doing right now. The service, the worship services. Y'all got that? Now, here's what I can do. Now, you can always hit people with forsake not the assembly of the saints. It's a command. But look here. Here's how it works. How many husbands in here that your wife have to call you and remind you to come home at night? How many of you have to call your wives and tell them, baby, it's time to come home? How many of your wives forsake the assembly of you and the family once every other week? How many men forsake the assembly of their families? There's no command to come home. I love my wife, and that takes me to the house every day. I love my children. That takes me home. That takes me to work, and it takes me back to them. I don't need a command. When you start loving God and you love his son and you're guided by the Spirit, love will bring you back this evening at 3:30. Say, man, I love God. God been too good to me. I need everything I can get on a Sunday. That's what you do. I'm saying, who are you talking about, Brother Brooke? Spiritual-minded people. Number 5, commit to giving to God your life, your time, and yes, your what?
Money.
So that's the stuff, giving. Give your life. How? By getting more involved in the church. You get more involved in church activities and spiritual events. You'll be more spiritual because you're around spiritual people. Attend fellowships. House to house, fellowship, bowling. We got so much going on now. You want some spiritual activity? We got it at this church, this congregation. Sign up for ministries. Help feed the hungry. Help relief. Help edification. Cook. Do something. Get active. That's how you give your life to the Lord. Give more of your time. Form new habits. Budget time for God. What I say? Budget time for God. Plan it. I'm going to give God this time. I need to give God more time. That's wise to do something for God in the week. Amen. Start with giving him Wednesday night if you don't do it. Start giving him 7 to 8:30. Is that asking too much for you to give God 7 to 8:30 once a week? Somebody say no. Or somebody, everybody say amen. Amen. Is that asking too much? Did God ask us too much? No, I'm still dealing with giving. Start, give of your income. This is a simple decision to give more during weekly collection. I got some great news. I can't announce this next week, though. I want to do it. I'm so bad right now. I just want to do it. Please, can I do it? No. Well, you don't want to miss next week's congregational meeting. I got some really exciting things to announce. Some of the things we've been pondering and talking about, and we're going to roll it out. Let me teach you how to give in a simple way so y'all understand. In the three dispensations of time, you got the patriarch Abraham, them. They were free. They gave free will offering to the altar, and they gave 10% or greater. That's them. The Mosaical dispensation, when Moses came on the scene, there came a law called tithing. And they had to give 10%. It was by command, they had to give 10%. So on the, in a patriarchal, the free will 10% command to Moses. Now Christians, Jesus taught free will giving. Get Mark 7. And his to his disciples from the heart. He wants us to give from the heart. Look, listen to this willer. Everybody turn there briefly. I'm about 5 more minutes and I'll be finished. Somebody say, well, how much do I give? Here's your answer. Here's your answer. Understand this. We do not tithe in the New Testament. The Bible says in verse 41, Jesus said against the treasury, Mark 12.
41, and Jesus 41. Sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury.
So Jesus looking at people putting money in the plate. Read.
And many there were rich.
The rich people were putting
much.
big money in the plate. Notice what he says.
And then came
then
a certain
come
poor
this
widow.
Poor woman, this poor widow.
And she threw in 2 mites.
She threw in 2 mites.
Which make a farthing.
Which is cents, pennies.
And he called unto his disciples.
And he said, guys, come here. Let me tell you something.
Verily I say unto
you. I'm going to tell you something. They all looking at the givers. This poor widow has cast more in than every one of them rich people did. So you're looking at big amounts. Then he says, for they did cast in their abundance a lot. And this is for people who give really good, and you think because you're the big giver that you can run the church, you're wrong. Your big giving means nothing to us. Yeah. Yeah. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So she gave 100%. And look at, and I'm going to look a modern version. I'm going to read that. I normally don't do this, but I'm going to read a modern version that breaks it down. It says, a poor widow came and put 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called the disciples to him and said to them, I say to you, the poor widow had put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty had put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Jesus taught them that was the right giver right there. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, for this I say, Paul says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. How? Not grudgingly. Here's how you give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a who?
A cheerful giver.
And watch this now. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. If you're robbing God, you're missing your blessings.
Amen.
If you're not giving like from the heart like you should, you're robbing. So, brothers, God has given us. God given us. He gave his son. Jesus had not died when Abraham was on the scene. Jesus had not died when Moses was commanding 10%. But now we are under the promise that's greater than any of them. And if surely they did 10% and this woman did 100%, there's your range. Can't nobody tell you to give 20%, calculate it for you. Okay, you need to give 20% based on your income. And you come out and say, how much I should give based on my income? Ain't no percentage that I can give you. It's the amount up here that you determine. Now, if you determine $1 is all the blessing God has given you, then you put your $1 in, but you're going to miss some blessing as a result of it.
Amen.
But if you determine God and bless you with a job, a home, $1,000 a week, and you put in $200 a week, or you put in $10 a week, you determine how much of a blessing that God that job is to you. You're telling God. But when you give as you prosper, when you give back because you know God blessed you to have it, a house, a home, a car, a job, then you give as you prosper. In other words, it's up here where it's a sacrificial giving. you reap what you sow. If you sow to God little, you reap little. I'm a testimony in my life. I don't know how many times I was taught as a new convert to give to God. And God has blessed me in many ways. And I contributed to being the mindset of giving right. Some of you all, you know you didn't give enough this morning. On your way, I'll give it to the usher. Repent.
Amen.
Yeah, repent. They ain't going to say nothing. Just give it to them and say, I repent. Took that little $2 in the plate and you spit in God's face. When he woke you up this morning, he's the one to get you to the job and back home safely. How many of y'all understand what I'm saying? Am I fussing?
No, you ain't.
This is reality. When you call yourself a child of God, you're a child of the greatest God, the great God of heaven, who loved the world, commended it toward us, that while we were sinners, his son would die on the cross. So I'm not commanding no percentage. I'm saying somewhere between 0, 10, and 100. I feel like you ought to blow right through 10% without any thought. What are you saying? I'm saying 10% of 1,000 is 100. Is that good? You ought to blow through that if you're making $1,000 a week. That's all I'm saying. You determine what that is. Now you say, man, Brooks, I got 1,000, I got to give 100. You keep that 100. Because God said, don't give it to me grudgingly. Don't you give it to me because the preacher said it. I'm going to start preaching.
Yes, you have.
Don't give it to him because you feel like it's necessary. Because God just wants you to give it because you're just so thankful, so cheerful. Lord, you've been so good to me. Everything I have, you gave it to me. And I'm going to give back. Number 6, commit to building spiritual relationships. Brothers in Christ, brothers, we ought to be closer, brothers and brothers, as we can be. Amen. Sisters in Christ, you ought to be closer, sisters. Y'all not to get in a meeting and you're going back and forth because you got personality conflicts. You should love each other enough to be spiritual. Amen. And certainly, the aged women, there is a command for you. There's a command for you to teach the young women. Amen. And God is watching. Our youth, I met with our youth last week. And I'm excited about them. I want to say to the youth, I'm proud of you and what you're doing. But build spiritual youth relationships. Surround yourself with children that are trying to go to heaven. That young man, Amarion's young man, was bullied at church and he committed suicide. At school and committed suicide. You need spiritual relationship. Number 7, commit to be spiritual leaders, brothers. Husbands, spiritual fathers. Spiritual leaders in the church, working in services. It's good to see many are working in the services now. Some that I've never seen work. Commit to being more spiritual sisters. Be God's woman. Be spiritual mom. Be a spiritual wife and a spiritual servant. Number 9, commit to being spiritual youth. To be faithful to God and obedient to your parents. How many of you all think today you need to change something based on what I've just said? Let me say that one more time. How many of you believe you need to change something to commit to be spiritual? Amen. That means you receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Let's go on one more time. Commit to be, put God what? First. To love God and put him first. Commit to love God and who else?
Jesus.
Commit to be guided by the
Holy Spirit.
How you going to get that? Is God going to talk to you? Do you put your Bible on the pillow and get it at night of osmosis? Or you got to come where? Bible class. Commit to what? Worship God faithfully. Is that just a.m. or afternoon as well? Let me ask that one more time. That's a real hard one to repeat, isn't it? Let's say it. We worship God in the morning and in the on Super Bowl day. Imagine what it would look like if Andrew Hewitt preached this afternoon at 2:30 and the same crowd is here. Everybody would probably pass out. We'd all be shocked. Like, what? whatever. I tell you what, I would ask some of y'all to do. Shock me by coming back. Let me say, "Ooh, you? Hey, bro, I'm shocked." I'm just getting a little humor, that's all. Commit to giving, number five, commit to giving what? God, your life, your time, and your money. Commit to build spiritual relationships, brothers, sisters, and to you. Commit to be men, commit to be spiritual what? Leaders. Women, commit to be spiritual sisters, wives, moms. 9, commit to be spiritual youth. Here's my offer as a minister, as your spiritual advisor. Each of you can schedule what I call a spiritual review. What that does, I ain't looking at what you're doing at home and your sins. That's none of that. I can put you on a track that'll help you grow. If you just give me 1 hour of your time and come to my office and fill out a paperwork, I'll give you some advice on where you're going wrong. Shouldn't I be the one to give it to you? Yes. I can do that. How many of you all want a spiritual review? What I want you to do is sign up through my secretary. I already got one sign up. Zerline, you here? Raise your hand, baby. That's my secretary right there. That's Zerline Dare. Come on, then, Zerline. Zerline, write the appointment down. You might be ought to stand out there today and see how many people want to sign up. Can you do that for me? If you want a spiritual review this week, we're gonna start doing spiritual review. I want to do my part. Can you do your part? You know why I want to do this? Because I think we got some wonderful things getting ready to happen at this congregation. And we need every member to be as spiritual as you can. And then watch God bless your life in a way you've never seen it before. Watch it. I know God can bless you, can't he, Tim? This man here rededicated at the year end. Amen. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's reading. You can rededicate the day. Say, you know what? I want to be more spiritual, Brother Bree. I want to come. So what's going to motivate you? The fact that Jesus hung 6 hours on a cross was suffered for you. He suffered, bled, and died for you, and that's the one thing that should bring you to God. And because he lived, we can face tomorrow with God. This is a good motivational message, is that right? I outdone Joel Osteen this morning. Because I put scripture with it, not just jargon and words of wisdom. The Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you are missing out on your blessing. You need to be a Christian. You need to believe Jesus died for you this morning. Number one, believe it. I've told you about it. Repent right where you are. Say, you know what? I'm not leaving like that. I want this. I want what this man is telling me. I want my blessings. How many of y'all want your blessings? I want my blessing. I want my blessing, brother. But I say, well, you got to come and confess Jesus be the Son of God. We'll baptize you this morning as commanded by Jesus, and you'll be started your spiritual walk with God. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, and you say, Brother Brooks, I know I'm not where I need to be. You know what we know? Prayer changes things. God, we can pray for you. We can pray with you. We can pray for your success. We can pray for what, help God give you the guidance you need. We will pray for you and pray with you. Maybe you're going through something. Let the church family pray. We're a family. Is that right, y'all? Let us pray together. We can rejoice together. We weep together. We pray together because we are God's children. And we want you to come. We want you to come. We want you to come. If you need prayer, we want you to come. You want to get baptized, we want you to come. You want to rededicate, recommit your life. Wouldn't you come as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement?